Against All Odds is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for MLB, NFL, PGA Tour, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. They're the best. Easy to use, safe and secure. You get your winnings fast. And now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Now sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know I sent you. Take it away, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you. Yes, I'm going to be honest. It's a Thursday night, not a Friday morning. I'm here with spaghetti and meatballs. They're fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we haven't been on, all four of us. We had the great Linda Cohn on yesterday, but the four of us haven't been together since Tuesday night. The Parlay Kid did it again. What did he do? What'd you predict? I mean, you just went with everything. It doesn't matter.
Well, I had Soto.
Anymore. Yeah.
Right. Did we cover that? I had Soto.
Yeah.
I had Goldschmidt at a home run
in
the All-Star game. And I had the under. And then I hit. With a volleyball pick I gave out on AP the other day. Is that our first volleyball one we've had? A brother Brian might have done a volleyball one at some point.
I would dig Harry if anybody. You might own volleyball.
Unless we had it during the
I may have done one, but that could be it. That could be it.
Well, you would have lost it. I was saying win if we would have won it, Terry.
I had the women. I had the Olympic women to win.
Volleyball,
to win the
right? So, yes.
Yes.
That's great. That the Nations League is great. A lot of fun. And then my other EP pick, Marcus Semien, to have over two total bases today, pulled in with three. So plus 125. Been there on a nice stretch. But what goes up must come down. I'm sure I'll give up plenty of losers today.
So no, not so fast. I mean, the Parlay Kid is so confident he's wearing the brightest of pink shirts right now. He doesn't even care. He's like, what does it matter? Harry's falling in love, I think. Hey,
the gray and the black. No more, right, D? No navy blue?
This is just
beneath him. This is going to be yesterday's news, literally, but a lot of weird stuff happening in the Thursday news cycle. Charles Barkley headed to the LIV Tour. Kyler signs a monster extension. Harry, which are you more surprised with out of these two?
Barkley, just whatever. He just takes the money wherever he can get it. But Murray, I mean, just more than anything, it's undeserved to me to get that type of money. And the audacity that him and his agent had to demand that money in the off season. I mean, in the last two seasons, that's crazy money considering five games under 500 in the last two seasons, second half of the season. The Rams playoff game was a complete disaster. He looked awful in that game more than anybody in the playoffs. No one looked worse than Kyler Murray. And he gets this money and just I'm concerned about his teammates, where they think of what they overall think of him. Because a lot of times he's on the sidelines. He reminds me a lot of Jay Cutler, just like stewing on the sidelines with no teammates around him. No one giving him, the vote of confidence. I don't know. I don't love it. And even here locally in Phoenix, the talk radio, the fans here, they don't love Murray either. So I thought that's just very surprising. It's just that money is way too much for it. So I know you're right. They're stuck.
Exactly. Damashek talks about the middle class quarterbacks, the Kirk Cousins of the world, the Kyler Murrays of the world. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to sign them or walk away? And then you're not good for a couple of years. Murray, I don't know, Bri, I'm looking at this like the most expensive quarterback, wide receiver, running back trios: Murray, Hopkins, Connor, $80.4 million. Carr, Adams, Drake, $74 million. I like the Raiders this year, but those are two teams expected to come in third place this year. And the highest two in terms of quarterback.
Yeah, wide receiver, I don't think you can worry about the contracts, right? Because we talk about every year, right? They go up. Eventually, in 3 years, some quarterback's going to be making $75 million, right? So it's just how it is. I mean, that's how it is. If you're a top 15, if you're a top 15 quarterback, you got to you pretty much at these days you have to sign the guy. I mean, regardless, you got to sign.
And so we talked about this parlay kid. So now what does this mean? Lamar Jackson is like licking his chops now, right? I mean, does he even... Does he play?
I'm a much bigger Lamar guy.
Darren, I don't think you disagree with me on that about Murray, though, right?
No, well, but Harry, here's the thing all about the quarterback. If Murray were to use his legs the way he should use his legs, this is what I'm saying. Like, Murray last year did not run the way he's capable of running the ball to avoid injury. But now that he's got his contract and he's got, what, $160 million guarantee, I like him to see – I want to see him go back to running the ball and being a dual threat. That's when he's at his best, and that's how he's going to earn this contract. He's not going to earn the contract by being a pocket passer here, right? So – and when I got to look at NBA contracts rolling in every day and seeing NBA guys getting the same money who are, you know, mediocre in their profession – I can't really argue with giving a quarterback this. This will be this contract, like Brother Bryce said, will be your run of the mill contract 3 years from now. Just the way it's going to be. It's just the way it's going to be. Lamar, he should be licking his chops because he, to me, is. I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's, top. I'd take him top five, top six.
Former MVP. Look, I think with Kyler, if there was ever a we need to see one more year guy, it's Kyler Murray. Lamar, you could say that a little bit because he doesn't perform great in the playoffs, but at least it gets him there. Their regular season record is spectacular, and it was an MVP, you know? So what's interesting is if you look at FanDuel, they're both 20-1 to win MVP. So they're like 10th and 11th on the list. So FanDuel considers them the same player, at least for this year going in. But it is going to be interesting to see with Kyler. But I mean, I don't know. There's a guy like a month ago, like, is he going to play baseball? Like, does this contract go, if he plays for the Diamondbacks, do they pick up the money in this contract? That would be great to see a different team, a different sport picking up a team's contract. Anyway, we got a lot of baseball to go over. We promised you we would do this. FanDuel, even though the season is resumed, this is Thursday night. The Yankees, Bri, you had the Yankees Astros over in game one. Did you have that over?
Yeah, that sucked. Yep, that lost.
I know. I took them. I bounced back. I had that too, and I bounced back with them. There's no scoring again, right?
Nope.
Is that what's going on?
2-0.
Oh, 2-0
Astros. 2-0 Astros. Yankees cannot beat this team.
These games have all been the same.
It's getting frustrating as a Yankees fan. Like, they just really struggle with the Astros. It's amazing.
It's crazy.
Well, Sal, there's nothing worse than when you bet.
The Mets ass too.
Nothing worse than when you bet an over and early in the game, bases loaded, no outs, and nobody scores. Like,
is that what happened?
Yeah. Yankees had bases loaded.
And bro, they ripped the ball twice.
Oh yeah, that was the thing. Carpenter hit one hard.
It's just a line out double play and then a fly ball to the wall. That hurt.
Listen. Quit crying because your team's going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're so going to make the playoffs that FanDuel doesn't even have. And by the way, I think they're going to take these lines down, right, to make the playoffs. They have them up for a couple of days. And then once the team resumes their second half, they take them down. Do they have the Yankees to make the playoffs? New York? I didn't think they had any Yankees or Mets.
I don't think so.
So they don't. They have about 15 teams. So out of those 15, we went over what's going to be the best value to make or to not make the playoffs. I'll start us off. I'm going Twins. No. Now, Harry, I know you like the White Sox. Yes. And we'll hear your reasoning on it in a minute, but I thought Twins. No, was better value. I get that they can grab a wild card. So it's not exactly the same bet, but -105, they have 9 more against the White Sox. So they're only 3 games up on 3 games. The last 3 of the season are in Chicago. So that could be fun. It really could come down to that. But overall, I'm looking at this roster and Joe Ryan, Dylan Bundy, Sonny Gray, they seem to be overachieving. I think guys like Gary Sanchez, Max Kepler, cool off. And look, they're only going to lose to the Yankees in the playoffs anyway, right? So maybe a couple weeks before the season ends, they'll realize it and be like, shit, let's bow out here. Again, I like the White Sox to rebound in that division, but the price, what is it, Harry? 142, maybe more?
Correct. Yeah,
142. 105 for the Twins. And if the Twins lose the division, I don't think they're grabbing any playoff spots from any of those AL East teams. We should get the wild card, someone in there. So like even the Guardians could get it over them if there's someone from that Central. So anyway, go ahead, Harry. Give me your reasoning from the White Sox to make it at -142.
Yeah, like you said, Sal, the -142, we're sort of on the same page here. But for as disappointing as the White Sox and their pitching has been, like you mentioned, they're only 3 back in the Central. They have won 7 of the last 10. but they have to play better at home in the second half of the season. They are second least. They have the second least wins at home in the American League. And however, they do have the second best batting average in the American League. They got four starters batting better than .301. Tim Anderson leads them at .310. They just got to turn the pitching around. They've allowed 332 walks. That's first. That's second in the AL behind Kansas City. They've given up more than they've given up 70 more to the Guardians, 60 more to Minnesota. Lucas has got to be smart here. They could still, obviously, Sal, like you said, mentioned, still wild card, but like they could definitely get the division three back and the capabilities they have on offense. I'm going to take the White Sox and make the playoffs.
All right. There you go. And by the way, I think is it Megan Conley's birthday today? I think I saw that. We missed it. Happy birthday. She's got to be 19.
Happy birthday, Megan.
Happy birthday.
Is she 19?
Happy birthday, Megan. Get your White Sox going.
Yes. Get us a win. I'll give her a free White Sox bet tomorrow. I don't think they play today, but let's get going with the White Sox. I have them all over the place. So me betting the Twins to not make the playoffs almost guarantees they cinch up that division. All right, Parlay Kid. You're going into the NL West. Dangerous territory. Giants to make it, huh?
Giants to make the playoffs at plus 120, Sal. Obviously not having the type of year they had last year. But I'm a big fan of two of their starting pitchers, Carlos Rodon and Logan Webb, Harry, right? Webb is very good, very underrated, maybe the most underrated pitcher in the National League. Always gives you a quality start. The Giants are plus 51 in their run differential. They're a pretty solid team. And here's the thing. Most of their hitters, almost every single person in their lineup, is not hitting to the back of their baseball card. Right? Remember that old expression?
Oh, they're not hitting.
Right? normally, guys will kind of get a trend to those numbers, their yearly numbers. And if the Giants hitters do that, they're going to be in much better shape. Yes, they have almost a dozen games left with the Dodgers, but they've always played the Dodgers pretty well. So the last time they played the Dodgers, they swept them. Right. So I like them here. They're only a half game out of a playoff spot. So the Giants, to me, they're always a clutch team, especially, in the second half of the season. They seem to pull things together. They have they're a veteran bunch there, and they're 7-2 in their last nine. So they are trending in that direction. So let's take them at plus money. They're only a half game out. I'll take the Giants at plus 120 to make the playoffs.
I like that. I do like that. Who would slip then? Who are we looking at then to slip?
Got Philly, San Diego. Yeah. I mean, one of those teams could easily slip, right? Easily slip.
St. Louis, maybe. You get three in, right?
Yeah. Milwaukee too. Milwaukee could be slip behind St. Louis. They're right there. They're right. The Giants are right there at 48 and 43. I don't think anybody's catching them. They have two or three teams they can jump between San Diego, Philly, St. Louis. I think they get that done over one of those teams.
All right. Three game series tonight with the Dodgers here in Chavez Ravine. Big one. Bri, you could speak to the Brewers not making it. That's a pretty good price at plus 220.
Yeah, well, that's why I liked it. Collapses. I really liked it. The Brewers not to make the playoffs is plus 220. I mean, like you were just saying, there's eight teams for six spots, right, basically? Mm-hmm. Now, the Brewers and the Cardinals basically neck and neck, but I like the Cardinals team overall better. And Parlay Kid says it all the time, right? This Brewers team cannot hit at all. They have the third worst batting average in the NL. They actually have the worst run differential of all of these teams that are in the hunt for the playoffs. The thing is, I think the Cardinals are likely to make a move. The Phillies or the Giants are likely to make a move, right? At the deadline. I'm not sure the Brewers will. And aside from Burns, the other starters are okay. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty good value getting plus 220 for them to not make it because it's right there. There's a jumble of like four or five teams. So they could easily slip out.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like that. By the way, Paulie Kid, I don't know. You got me thinking when you say back of the card, he's not hitting the back of his baseball card. Super 70s had a great post yesterday about, I think it was Jim Cott. Remember those players who had like 25 years experience? Yeah. But they told like, remember how small the print was? And he said it was something to the effect of no one, even with a high-powered microscope, has ever been able to read the back of this card.
There was something about those guys. That's true. The Jim Cott, the Steve Carlton's. Yeah.
Carlton, like Gaylord Perry.
Tommy John.
Like, Yeah,
like Negro.
Phil Negro.
Phil Negro.
That's so small.
Oh, I don't know how they do it now. How do they do it now? Is it the same or what? I guess it has to be. Do they not bother with it?
I feel like they put a lot less on there now. They don't put the stats.
It was always like a career
fun
stats.
Fact. Yeah, right, it's on the more like in a lot of cases. Facts. Like
they don't. I don't know.
I loved it. What a time! What a time!
By the way, did you see that video I sent you of Gaylord Perry on Letterman?
Yeah, that was great.
He was 45 years old. I legit. If you put him today's age, he'd be 75 or 80.
Scary. Right? That's a lot of the players were. All the managers were like that, from Sparky to Lasorda was in his 40s. Sparky Anderson is ridiculous. Like you think Sparky's like 65 years old and he's younger than Tom Brady in a lot of these. And hockey players also. We talked about this with Super 70s. All the hockey players look like old men.
Love it.
We got to go back to that day. Hey, let's do it. Baseball season. Turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to a grand back in free bets if you don't win. Has great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app, and you get paid fast. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code Against All Odds to get started with your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. Might as well be any of these that we just mentioned, to or to not make the playoffs. Twins, no. White Sox, yes. Brewers, no. Giants, yes. A couple plus monies in there. Do it. FanDuel. Yep. .com/AgainstAllOdds. All right. Now, also, I asked that we pick a player prop or an award. I have Harry reasoning for this pick, but Mike Trout under 33 and a half home runs. Now, why is this, Parlay Kid? This is one of the top five players in the game. He has 24 home runs at the All-Star break. Obviously, the All-Star break is not the halfway break. His team's played 92 games. So,
yeah.
What is that? Like 60%, somewhere in there, yep. Almost 60%. He's played 79 of those, but he's on pace for 45. And one of the best players in the game is over under his 33 and a half. I say this is the sucker bet of the summer right here to bet the over, and I'm going under. I mean, let's say he misses another 10. You know how I like the unders. That's how I amass my fortune. I have nothing to show for this. I have nothing like statistically to say why this is going to happen, but why the hell is he 33 and a half if he already has 24, Parlay Kid? He's on pace for almost 40, well, right?
Because he'll eventually be hurt.
He'll get hurt. They shut him down.
Because Anaheim is they're out of it already. Or yeah. The Angels, Anaheim, still calling them Anaheim.
That's all right.
But, you know,
yeah.
He's going to be playing meaningless baseball come mid October.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, what is there for him to get excited about?
I love the reasoning, Sal.
I mean, there's no reasoning.
So you're saying it's a fishy line.
That's why I love it.
It's a fishy line.
Yeah, he should have 40. It's
fishy as can be. Trout, fishy line. You get it?
There you go. It's a fishy line. But then, you know, then I read today that Ohtani.
Hook, line, and sinker, Dave.
All right. See, we're building on this. Ohtani might be a Brave, too, I'm hearing now, which would suck. So obviously he doesn't have that in the order right there.
That's where he should go. Get him out of there, please.
Yeah, somewhere. Not Atlanta. Keep him out of the East. Put him in your division.
MVP.
Put him on the race.
He'll win MVP both leagues this year.
Oh,
right?
You believe that? Do you want to bet that, Parlay Kid? Go ahead. Give us your gut. Get this nonsense over with. I know you're going
That's why I'm taking Judge at plus 110 to win the MVP because he is the MVP. He's going to go over 50 home runs, 120 runs batted in, plus 280 average, plus hopefully I think he'll get hot again and get that closer to 290, 300. He's a gold glove outfielder as far as I'm concerned. He's the MVP and the best team in the American League.
You're so
he's got to stay. He's going to stay healthy, too, because it's his contract. He does not want to be hurt right now. And like you're saying, if there's any rumors about Ohtani leaving, Judge is your clear-cut MVP, Sal.
Okay, if
let's
that's
get him
your
plus
reason,
110
fine.
Right now. And Ohtani's not the MVP. His team, they don't even want him there anymore.
This guy is doing something.
They don't even want the MVP.
No one's done this in 100 years.
He's so valuable to that team They want to trade him, Harry.
I know. He's Ralph so Kiner. Ralph Kiner did win MVP twice, and they traded him. Like, it has nothing to do with it. You could have an organization that just doesn't have their shit together, which is the Angels right now.
Yeah, but the most
I don't back the Yankees for him, but Darren, Judge has a 30-point better average, 14 more homers, 14 more RBIs.
What the hell is wrong with you people? We've not seen anyone do this in 100 years. If this was 1920, Darren, and Babe Ruth was doing this, you'd be screaming from the rooftops that he should be in and shouldn't be Jimmy Fox or whoever. I mean, we've not seen that. We're not going to see this.
Yeah, but Otani's numbers got to be astronomical. They do.
His pitching numbers compared to Judge are astronomical.
The pitching numbers should count just not as much as that much.
If he's between 10 and 15 wins, yes.
Sal, yeah. Harry said, just don't count the pitching stuff.
I did not say that. I said you can't count it that much.
I'm with the parlay kid. For the most part, I'm with them with any other sport, football, basketball. But if once in a lifetime, if we're seeing something that we haven't seen in 8 decades, like
we've seen it already. Now we've seen him do it. We've seen him.
If the Yankees were 20 games under 500, then you can give it to Otani, right, Darren?
So
what place do you have to come in?
Batting 258.
Do you have to be in very first place to win the MVP? Or can you be in like third place?
You got
to
be hitting 300 on a team.
You don't. If you have 15 freaking wins, you don't have to hit 300. I'm sorry.
You got to be a contender. You got to be a contender. You got to be in contention in my book. In contention.
You guys finish this out. You finish up. You know how to do it. I already did the ad.
So if he hits 250 with 25 home runs and wins 15 games a year, he's got to be MVP every year.
100 RBI. If he wins 15 games a year and drives in 100 runs and steals 15 bases, what the hell? What more do you want him to sell popcorn to? And this, like, what I think is he supposed to do?
But that, again, outstanding player? Maybe. MVP?
Oh, good. Oh, maybe.
No. There's a difference to me between outstanding and MVP. To me, there's a huge difference.
To me too. I agree. All right, Brother Bri, give us some sensibility before we throw to Harry. Go ahead. You like these unders like I do.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you on Otani. I just
come on.
I don't. I mean, what if another team got? I mean, it would have to be the biggest trade in history, right? Like, what would you have to give up?
Again, it's one of those things. Like, are they renting him for the summer or, you know,
you'd have to give up everyone. You'd have to give up your top players on your team and your farm system. Like, it's just,
I never know how it works because I'm so underwhelmed by these trades all the time. If you could first round it to 2035, you know, like, then like, all right, well, then I guess I don't know what the comparison is there, but
yeah. But I was doing the same thing as you saw. I was looking at Schwarber at under 42 and a half. You know, we always talk about the unders for a lot of these player props. I know you and I do the same. Now, you have 70 games left, right? So most of these, I mean, Trout is the one that's a little bit lower. Most of these player props, when you look at the home runs, it's like 13 to 15 homers the player has to hit over these last 70 games. So Schwarber would have to hit 14 and about 70 games. So you're basically rooting for an injury here, but I kind of like it. And the reason I also like it, I know it might sound dumb, but even for Schwarber, there's something about that home run derby. I feel like whenever you see guys just really tail off after the home run derby, if anybody was going to be that this season, it was going to be Schwarber, just the way he was hitting the ball in that derby. So between him struggling there or a little bit of a hiccup with an injury, not rooting for it, but it's potential there, or I am rooting for it, I guess.
He's never
had more than 38 home runs. I mean, I know he's, 14 and 70 games isn't a ton, but I'm going the under 42 now.
Well, not to mention they don't even really count all his home runs. So he might hit 30 more and they only count like 9 of them the rest of the way. All right, Harry, what do you got?
I'm going to give you a real MVP here, Sal. Yesterday, Paul Goldschmidt was at +115. Today he's at +110 for the National League MVP. He leads St. Louis in average at 330. There's a guy batting 330. Leads the team in home runs, hits, doubles, RBIs, and that's beyond impressive considering the Cards aren't a slouch of a team. They're fourth best in total offense in the National League and have Nolan Arenado on the team, and Goldie leads in every stat over Arenado. Second in the MVP in the National League right now, according to FanDuel, is Manny Machado at plus 590. Machado's having his best season in San Diego, but he's batting 303 now, but he's only batting 193 in July. I think Goldie at plus 110 is solid.
But what if they don't make the playoff? I mean, they're right on the cusp of not making the playoffs.
They're tied for the third wild card, and but they can also win the Central. They're very close in the Central too.
I get it, but what if they don't? What if they don't?
Batting, let's say 34. He's batting 92 points higher than Otani, just letting you know.
And they both won't make the playoffs. Then what do we do? How many wins does he have?
92 points higher.
I get it. I'm just trying for consistency. All right. So we're looking for more. So I'll tell you what. I like these. And Harry, actually, you brought this up, the Dodgers, how hot they are. And 3-game series tonight against the Giants. You could still bet them for best record at plus 160. Oh, maybe it changed now because the Yankees lost. And it looks like they're going to lose again. Are they down 5-0 here?
5-0.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. 5-2. 5-2. They got runs back. Okay. Well, Bri, you picked the wrong over, Bri.
Well, I didn't specify their afternoon or night.
All right. There you go. 5-2 in the third. Anyway, as of this morning, the Dodgers were plus 160 for best record. I know the Yankees are going to run away with the AL, at least the regular season. They're three games off. They're probably two after today. The Yankees play in a tougher division. Dodgers are in a tough division too. Three teams over 500. Yankees, every team 500 or better. Like we said, 70 games-ish remaining. They have a ton against the Rockies, a ton against the D-backs, a few against the Marlins, Nats, Royals. The Yankees play, Yankees have the Royals, A's, and Pirates. So otherwise, tough teams and most in their ridiculous division. I don't know. I don't think three games. And Harry, as you pointed out, Dodgers 15-2 in the last 17, really clicking if they continue right where they were. Plus 160 for best record for the Dodgers. Parlay Kid, you like the Nationals. Seems like a fire. They'll probably give away some big pieces too. Under 58.5 wins. That's not a bad idea to short some of these teams that are going to be sellers.
Well,
right?
Especially because they're on pace, even with the team they've had so far, for 53 wins this year. So, to get to 58.5 with, a disgruntled, obviously. And I think it's kind of warranted for Soto to be disgruntled at this point. The fact that they couldn't get him a flight back to Washington. And he should have called Ken. I'm sure Ken would have gotten him a plane, right, Harry? He just couldn't. His own team couldn't even do that for him. Yeah, right. So I think you have some players there now that are disenfranchised there. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's going to be a general malaise around that team. And I don't think they'll get to that 58.5 wins. I don't think they get to 59. Right now, they're projected for 53.
Wow!
So I don't see how they're gonna make up five games there at all.
Right. As much as I screamed at you, Parlay Kid, I like both your picks here. I like the Giants to make the playoffs and the Nationals. I don't like that other one you picked, but and the Nationals to go under 58.5. I'm writing those down because I'm turning those in right after.
Nice.
Bri, I don't know that the Royals have anything to sell off. They suck. Unless they want to get rid of that rookie. But 67.5, right?
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite bets I think I've ever done. So I love the under 67.5, right? So look, I will say the reason maybe this is a little bit higher is because they ended the year. They screwed me last year and they ended the year really solidly. But they are 36-56 right now. So this means for them to go over, they have to go 32-38 the rest of the way. Look at their schedule. This is the schedule to start the second half. So they start with Tampa. Then they have the Angels. Okay, fine. Maybe that's a little weak. But then they go Yankees, White Sox, Red Sox, White Sox, Dodgers, Twins, Tampa. Like those are their next series.
Wow.
And then you still have the division games between the Guardians, more Twins, more White Sox, who are going to be vying for the playoffs. So they are 36-56. They have to go 32-38 the rest of the way with that schedule to go over. So I love
that one.
Nice.
Under.
All right, fine. Let's jump on that. It just occurred to me. I know why Parlay Kid, he wants his guy Judge to win MVP, although it'd become much more expensive for the Yankees if he does. So let me just remind you that. I didn't know why Harry, but then I figured it out. Harry on Tuesday said, Otani, remember we talked about that first pitch from Kershaw, what's going to be? Harry said, guarantee Otani is taking the pitch. And then he comes on and he speaks 8 words of English, and 5 of them were, I'm swinging at this or whatever he said. He's like, I'm swinging at the first pitch.
And so good.
God damn, he sure as shit did. He swung at the first pitch and lined it to center field.
Before he did, I said he was in the text chain, I said he's lying.
Well,
yeah, he said he was a liar. Yeah.
That was one of the great, you know, we didn't make a bigger thing of that. That was really great.
I know, we should have.
The fact that Harry said specifically that, and he specifically said, and like you said, he doesn't speak much English. And the fact that he said, I'm swinging at the first pitch was.
That's all the English he learned. It was amazing. And he lined it to center field. That was crazy. What were the odds on single first pitch? 25-1 or something?
Well, extra base hit was 35-1. A single was probably like 7-1 or something.
Oh, was it only 7?
First pitch.
Maybe it was 10.
Probably very a little higher, yeah. Well, there you go. The dub of the week goes to Harry. For sure. all right, Harry, let's do this. You know, I warned you this was happening. It's our underdog picks of the week, Friday night baseball. I'm looking at Sky Bolt of the Oakland Athletics. Great name. And I have a great bet for you. Sky Bolt will get at least a single tonight against Texas. I know he's only batting 205, but he's had a base knock in 4 of the last 5 games where he's had an at bat. And yes, the heavens open up tonight in Oakland. Sky Bolt.
I'm staying with that game too, Sal. I'm taking A's. Sean Murphy to have more total bases than the Rangers. Corey Seager. Look, Murphy has been almost as hot as the temperature here in Phoenix in July. He's batting .333 this month, and the Rangers are throwing Spencer Howard tonight and his 6.97 ERA. I went against Seager in his matchup on Monday night in the Home Run Derby, and I'm doing it again in this spot. Murphy also leads Oakland in doubles, hits, and is just one homer behind Seth Brown for the team lead. Plus, Murphy has 5 doubles and 9 total hits in his last 7 games versus Texas. Let's start the weekend off right with Sean Murphy. More total bases than Corey Seager.
Ah, yes, the Murphy-Seager rivalry. It has Tupac and Biggie written all over it. Hey, sign up now with the code COUSINSAL and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. Underdog, easiest way to get some action on the NFL. The largest best ball prize pool is here only on Underdog Fantasy. $10 million in total prize money. 3 prizes of $1 million or more. The best place to play fantasy football this summer is Underdog. Yes, the winner of Best Ball Mania, a 7-figure prize last year, drafted in June. So there's no time like the present. We're already in July to join Underdog. Take your shot at $1 million draft. And Best Ball Mania, you just enter the contest of the Underdog website or app, draft a team, and that's that. No waivers, no trades, no in-season management. Underdog gives you your best score each week of the season and the highest scoring drafts at the end of the season. Plus, Underdog is going to double your first deposit up to $100 when you sign up with promo code COUSINSAL. 4 free entries into Best Ball Mania. Yes. What are you waiting for? Head over to underdogfantasy.com or the App Store and sign up for Underdog with the promo code Cousin Sal today. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Cousin Sal. All right. Did we take a quick break? No. Let's do that right now, and then we'll get right in to Shark Tank. All right, guys, big weekend coming up. Big, big weekend of sports. MLS, UFC, Major League Baseball, WNBA. We're getting there. We're getting there. Under 50 days, 49 days, 48 now. Harry, Sharp Tank pick. Give us your best for the weekend.
Okay, well, last week I did go with an MLS soccer pick, and I won. And I am 3-1 in my last 4 Sharp Tanks. So I am going right back on Saturday to soccer. I'm going to take Kansas City and LAFC over 2.5 goals.
I love this.
Minus 122. Last five meetings between these two bitter rivals, all over 2.5. 23 goals in total in the last five matches between these two. That's an average of 4.5 goals per match. Each squad played on July 17th. Both games landed on 3. KC, LAFC, battle of the alphabet, over 2.5.
Oh, my God. All right. Both landed on 3, so we're going over. All right, Bri, what do you like? Is this UFC? Is this card any good?
It's okay. I mean, you know, this is one of those cards, you know, when you end with the heavyweights, I don't necessarily love a lot of these heavyweight matches, but the rest of the main card's solid. It actually isn't as bad as some of the other ones have been. But I think this is the first, fight on the main card, but I love Paul Craig plus 132 of Ozdemir. I've given him out a few times. He's been my Sharp Tank pick before he's hit. He's been an EP pick before he's hit. He's been really impressive in his last 4 fights. This fight is in England, so it's kind of like in his backyard. And, you know, he has a knack in these fights to, you know, to get a little bit hurt and then to finish his opponents. His submission game is as good as any guy this size. It really is phenomenal. So if he can avoid the striking with Ozdemir and he gets this to the ground, I think he wins this pretty easily. I think in this fight, he'll be smart enough to know he can't stand and trade punches here. But to me, it should be an even fight. And you're getting, you know, you're getting plus money here. I mean, Ozdemir's lost to some tough opponents, but he's lost his last 2. Craig's coming in winning 4 straight. So I like the odds at plus 132.
All right. And Curtis Blades is an underdog parlay kid. Wow.
Card, right? That's why I like Blades in this fight. So my UFC picks have been in the crapper lately. But, you know, it's out as we talked about last week. Blades is the better wrestler. He's one of the best heavyweight wrestler right now in the UFC. And
because he wrestles.
He'll go out there. He'll take guys down, even though in his last fight, he won by TKO, by punches. The fight before that against Rosenstrike, unanimous decision. His only losses in his career have come to Lewis. From Derek Lewis from one big shot and from and twice to Ngannou. So he obviously has some trouble with the really big, powerful punchers in this division. But against everybody else, he's dominated. His opponent, Aspinall, he's a good fighter, but he's not that huge puncher that those other guys are. I think he takes his fight to the mat a little bit. He's kind of good both, and he's good standing up too. I'll just take him as the underdog here, plus 114. I think that's good value for a guy that's really rebounded from his really disaster against Derek Lewis with 2 really impressive wins in a row. Let's go with the better wrestler here in Curtis Blades.
All right, I'll back you, Parlay Kid. I like Blades. I like watching Blades. That'll be a fun one. Mikey Meatballs, who's the best bet on this card?
Jordan Leavitt over Patty Pimblett at plus 215. Leavitt should probably be a favorite here, so I'm going with him.
Really? Jordan Leavitt, plus 215. Wow. All right. Thank you. I mean, if nothing else, you kept me from putting Patty Pimblett on a big money line parlay with the minuses.
Patty Pimblett looks so much like Owen Hart, right? I don't know if you've seen.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's got that old school hairstyle.
Yes.
Rest in peace, yes, Owen Hart.
You're right.
Babyface, what happened? You want to weigh in here? Oh, Josh Rosen. We didn't mention Josh Rosen signed with the with the Browns.
Well, I mean,
I forgot about that.
Know, equal time. I know everyone, you know, big deal, Kyler Murray, but I mean, come on, Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
If this doesn't tell you where the Browns are at right now, then I mean, at least we know that the Steelers won't have the worst quarterback room to start the season, thankfully.
Well, let's read into this, because do the Browns know that Deshaun Watson's not going to be suspended for as long as, because what they did with the Josh Rosen thing is they decided to pass on Jimmy G, who was given the go-ahead, his agents were, to seek out a trade, which I still don't understand how agents could go to teams, seek out a trade. It should be the GMs looking for trades. But anyway, Josh Rosen, not Jimmy G, surprising to me, maybe indicates that Watson's getting a shorter sentence suspension than a year. But where do you think Jimmy G ends up? I was guessing maybe the Lions. And what a great Hard Knocks that would be to see the NFC West retreads battling it out for the top dog position there. You know, Goff and Jimmy G. He probably should stay with the 49ers. We went over this on Extra Points. Odds wise, you know, it's the best move because the 49ers with the Jimmy G Lance combo there are still only, what did I say they were for? I think they're only seventh. Yeah, 16-1. They're seventh. And only teams ahead of them are Chargers, Packers, Rams, Bills, Bucks, and Chiefs. He's not going to any of those other teams. I don't know, Bri. What do you think? Where do you think he ends up?
I don't know. This is tough. I would like to see him go somewhere. You know, I would have liked to have one point in time maybe seen him with the Steelers or a team like that. But yeah. I don't know who can give the, you know, in terms of compensation, I'm sure teams don't want to give up that much for Jimmy G. Plus contract wise, right? To bring another quarterback on that makes a lot of money.
Yeah, that's why maybe the Browns don't want to dedicate $240 million to the quarterback slot this year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Because they're still paying a bunch of Bakers, right? For this year, right? And then Deshaun Watson, they can't do it. I mean, it's almost impossible for them to do it. The Panthers maybe would have made sense. Yeah, I don't know. Now I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Well there's not many, right? Because he'd want to really have to go there.
What
he'd
want to have Seattle, to
go to the team. He's not going to go to Seattle
in the division, right? So that's not.
But
happening.
I was thinking that, Paulie kid. I feel like we've seen more division trades in the last few years. Like they were like the Cowboys and the Eagles trade before the draft, which is. You know, that's a sacred cow, those draft picks.
Right.
We see Belichick unloads his shitty picks to the Dolphins all the time.
Didn't Carolina make the most sense for Garoppolo? Like, that really made the most sense.
Yeah. So he's not going there, right? Because they made that move already.
Right.
He's not going to go to Houston because he's just not going to want to go to Houston. I kind of feel like Seattle, he won't want to go to either. Who else is in quarterback limbo?
Although Seattle would have been
G-Men.
Yeah.
Giants could be good.
Interesting.
But it should probably still stay with San Fran. San Fran was a tart interception away last year from beating the Rams in the playoffs. I mean, just have a
Harry,
little
that's
backup.
Not,
just
to that's make not PC. Don't say that. That's not politically correct to say it. Oh, that's right. That's the guy's name. No, you're right. No, they're 16-1. They're seven.
And they were great offensively and defensively if you look at the numbers in the top 10 both last year, too. It's still right there.
Yeah,
they could use him just in case.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the blood it's so much bad blood that they can't. Maybe he's now in like a Baker Mayfield situation where he's got to go out and prove himself somewhere else or else he's going to lose value. Right. But I'm looking, it's not the Bengals, not the Ravens, not the Colts, not the Browns, not the Eagles, not the Titans, not the Cardinals now, not the Vikes or Dolphins. Who could it be? The Saints? Well,
that's the thing,
the
right?
Saints
yeah.
Or the Giants?
But that's the thing, right? All of those teams that should have probably been in play for Garoppolo already made a shitty deal.
Right,
with the
they're already spoken
like,
for.
Like the
right.
Colts, would have made sense, right? Now it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there were teams. Atlanta maybe made sense at one point. Now it doesn't. Like, so
yeah, I think the Lions, the Giants, the Seahawks are in rebuilding years. Not that he'd want to go to any of those teams anyway. So you almost maybe have to kick them out. I think it'd be fun if he ended up on the Lions for us to see the latter half of August and Hard Knocks. But otherwise, Harry, I think you're right. I think he's got to stay where he is. All right. That's interesting. Oh, Mel, we've been asking people for summer school to hit us up there. Parlay Kid, an educator of 30 plus years now. And the calendar says July, but summer school is still in session. So we asked you to reach out. Cousin Sal, AgainstAllOdds@gmail.com. Hit us up with a question for the Parlay Kid. And we do have one. I think the guy's name is Steve. It's just Steve. And he says, I will be coaching my son's Little League team this fall. And I've seen it get extremely competitive among the parents who manage like it's game 7 of the 86 series. Unlike Harry, I know you're a man of high principles. This is for you, Parlay Kid, and values. Yep. But have you ever taken a page out of the Belichick playbook and done something that may or may not have bent the rules to give your team an advantage that you could share with this future coach? Thanks for all the winners. Stavros Stavropoulos. Is that a real name? Oh, interesting. All right. Stavros from New Hope, Pennsylvania.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
If I've ever...
Go ahead. You'd be honest here. Stavros deserves some honesty.
I think we should ask Brother John. What do you think, Brian?
You know, is Harry going to say
the truth?
Cooking the books for softball? I mean, that never happened.
No, that doesn't give an advantage.
That's a really good question. Yeah. You know, I don't think I coach a sport that I could get away with something. That
well, here's the thing: we could talk about illegal, when we were younger and what a
you
coach
lower the
did
hurdles when you're teaching track and field. You lower the
See,
hurdles. For you.
Nothing like that.
How would you lower a hurdle?
I could tell you. I could tell you maybe like in track,
fraction like of an inch.
When, dig when into the ground and bury it. What? Yeah.
When you're doing handheld times in track, when it really doesn't matter, you might give a kid a little bit better time than
all right.
But it wouldn't. You know, like the kid still would have come in fourth place, but instead of a 10.2, right. you had a 10.1 or something. Maybe that.
Well,
maybe
this guy's coaching Little League baseball. I don't know what you could do for Little. I mean, they're using a different bat.
You bat out of order. Maybe you sneak a guy in, like in front of somebody. I think, Sally, I think you got called out for that once while you were doing the books, weren't you? Didn't that happen to a game
in
when
softball?
You were doing the books? No, at one of
your
kids'
baseball.
Games.
Yeah, that's right.
Did that happen
where
somebody was batted out of order unintentionally?
You can't get caught watching the game. Right.
I had a coach once. I was up in Rome, New York in a baseball tournament and I had a coach. We went in the finals of this tournament. I did have a coach. His name was, Mr. Lahman. He recently passed away. He had a kid grab a fungo bat, right? Which was like you ever see, you know, like a fungo bat that's like 40 inches long. And he told the kid to step back and swing and hit the catcher's glove. And get a catcher's interference call.
Really?
And he did do that. The kid did do that. You know,
don't
it was like straight
bats
out of like
look
a bat.
Comically different than the accepted
absolutely.
Bats.
Absolutely. Somehow or another, he kind of like got right back to the in the back of the box, swung as late as possible, and hit the kid's mitt, and he got first base. He got first base. I would
and nobody
never
complained. The other coaches didn't say, "Hey, look at this stupid bat."
We were probably down about 8-3 at the time, so I guess it just kind of went unnoticed in a way. But I remember that was very, you know, it was kind of like telling Engelbert to just, you know, what's his name, Engelbert Stein, to kind of just like lean into one and take one. So I was part of that, but I've never done anything like that. I'd have
nothing
to
on
really
your own.
Think back into my history there to see if there's anything. Mikey, in a lot
it.
Of games, he could tell you if I ever did anything that might have been a little.
Now I'm thinking back. You know, now when Harry played softball for us, he used a Funyun bat, right? Was that different? No,
Funyun bat.
That gets the right, dub of the day.
No, forget it, Harry. Harry, you already got
that's
the dub of the day.
That's a great question, though, and I'm going to be thinking about that tonight.
That's good.
I will
now,
be Paul
Kidd, I know as a wrestler, you fiddled with the scale a little bit, but that was right, or someone did that on your behalf.
That's what I heard.
Finkin
that's what I heard.
Says that was one. To how do I doctor a scale? I don't know how I would have done that. Like, because you always balance the scale. Well, like, you balance it, right? With those balanced scales.
Don't ever listen to Finkin, that's for sure.
Like, I know you can play with those balanced scales. You can do that. But, like, when it's, like, a match time.
I thought something happened. Or did someone say you made weight when you didn't early? Is that maybe that's what it was. Was that maybe
no,
what
you said? I always made
Paul, you're not going to lose your League 5 trophy over this.
Yeah,
you could say.
Here's one thing I could say we did. Here's one thing I'll be honest. There were times in wrestling, I'm not sure if it's still this way. In high school wrestling, I was not the head coach, I was the assistant coach. Mm-hmm. But you have to weigh in and make what they call scratch weight in the morning, right?
Right.
And then you get 3 pounds allowance for the match in the afternoon. So let's say I went wrestling 132 pounds. I got to make 132 pounds in the morning. And the afternoon, I would have to make 135. So you were able to eat a little bit during the day. It's really stupid in theory, the whole thing.
And if you don't make it in the morning, you have to make 132 in the afternoon.
You'd have
to
make the scratch weight in the afternoon. There was certainly times we had I probably had wrestlers who did not make scratch weight in the morning, but made weight in the afternoon. Like in terms of maybe
every
not
team,
132 in the morning, but made 135 in the afternoon. Yeah. I would say that with Brian wouldn't tell you, we made guys make scratch weight, but when we had a kid,
every team did it though.
Really, really having a hard time. I was like, look, just make the weight. just make the wait in the afternoon.
But just some coaches, right.
You know,
some coaches
so
would do that.
Our coach made us make seven wrestlers stretch weight all the time.
Yeah, because some coaches would have like seven wrestlers not make the afternoon weight after allegedly making the morning weight. And it's like, what the hell is going on here?
You're
obviously cheating.
But I definitely was involved in skirting that rule on a few occasions.
Wrestling's as stupid as NASCAR.
Harry, I dare to just say that to any... Let's say that to any
NASCAR driver. He just did.
And Harry Finken doesn't count. You can't say that to him. He doesn't count as a wrestler. No.
Finken would still whoop Harry. He would.
Poor kid got CTE from the sport. Yeah. Hey, Meatball said that he once had a 16-year-old play on his middle school basketball team. Is that true?
I mean,
I
don't want to speak for Michael, but yeah, he did say that.
I don't know. So, did he say that?
There's definitely some of that going on. Michael, is that true?
No, that is not true.
He was 17.
I was going to say, wait a second.
All right. So there you go. We gave you some, maybe you could use that, Stavros. I'm not sure you could use a lot of that, but the fungo bat for sure for a little league. If you get in a pinch, do that. Yeah. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. That's where to hit up the Parlay Kid for summer school questions. Yes, summer school is in session, and there you go. Big weekend coming up. Now, Harry, what the hell's going on? I'm flying out tonight. My middle son, Jack, who was your best man at your wedding, has been really infatuated with this indoor football league. And I think it's mainly because his brothers and I and nobody else I know is following it. And so he does follow it. He watches on YouTube every week, and his dream is to go to a playoff game in Arizona. Now, you have like six teams there, right? Something crazy.
It is crazy. There's three teams here, and it worked out where, we're taking about a 90-minute trip north to go Prescott Valley to see the Tucson Sugar Skulls and the Northern Arizona Wranglers. I can't wait.
What the hell? Can we even bet that? Are we able to bet that? We'll figure it out.
I've got a couple buddies in Vegas, buddies I worked with. I'm having them scope that out for us.
I'm going to have to bet that to overcome the, 115-degree heat that we're flying into tonight. And
absolutely.
I mean, I don't see how this ends well. And all right, so that's it. We'll report on that Monday. That's fun. And that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti, for Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping.